This is called Good Friday, but for these two followers of Jesus, nothing about this is good. Everything good this Friday has died, and it seems to them that this will be Friday for the rest of their lives. For the rest of Jerusalem, though, it's Sunday. The Passover Sabbath is over, and life has returned to normal. But for these two men, the sounds of life returning to normal seems a sacrilege. The new normal was not normal. For them, nothing could ever be normal again. No Passover could come without memories of him who was led as a lamb to the slaughter. No sacrifice could be made without remembering the way he was sheared and cut up and stretched out on that God-forsaken cross. Since these two were friends of the man on the cross, a lot of strangers wanting to ask them questions, find out exactly what happened, and exactly what the disciples were going to do now. But the two were so disoriented from their grief that they didn't know anything vaguely, let alone exactly. And what they did know, they didn't want to talk about, especially with strangers. And since the city was a spilling silo of strangers, they wanted out. They decide the country would be a good place to go, where there is space to think, space to talk and to sort things out. They've got plenty to sort out. They've left everything behind to follow Jesus. They've staked their future on his words, their hopes, their dreams, everything. Now he is gone. And somehow they will have to get along without him. But where will they go? For now, anywhere. Anywhere away from the rubble of lives that have fallen apart, lives that seem impossible to rebuild, futile even to try. So, they go to try to sort things out, to try to understand what went wrong and why, and to try to decide where to go next. They could take any of several roads. The road north of Jerusalem leads to Ephraim, but that's too far. The road east leads to Jericho, but that's too dangerous. The road south leads to Bethlehem, but that is too glaring a reminder of all that they are wanting to forget. And so, they take the road west, the road to Emmaus. The road to Emmaus is the road we take after we've been to Golgotha. It's the road we take when the other roads we've taken turn out to be dead ends. It's the road out of town. The road to getting away from it all. So they leave Jerusalem because there's nothing for them there anymore. Nothing but memories of a might-have-been Messiah and what the world did to him. But though what the world did to him is over, the pain is not. There's the headache and the heartache and the hard lump in the throat. There's the doubt and the dead-end questions and the dark night of the soul. And these are their thorns. These are their nails. These are their crosses. And they carry all of them with them on the road out of town. They leave behind the rumors of his resurrection. They carry with them only the reality of his death and their own sadness. The road they travel slopes slowly away from the city and then squirms around convergence of hills. The simple composition of stone against sky is a welcome change from the Corinthian complexity of Roman architecture that surrounded them in Jerusalem. The expanse starkness of the terrain mirrors the landscape now of their own soul. The starkness makes room for solitude, and the solitude makes room for their thoughts, giving them a chance to uncurl from the fetal position they've been in the past few days. And as they walk, their thoughts stretch and then breathe into conversation, but the conversations are overcast with emotion. Tears come and go, and so do their thoughts. They think of the beautiful dream of the Savior, the beautiful dream the Savior had, the coming of God's kingdom, when his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, when nations would beat their swords into plowshares, when the wolf would lie down with the lamb, and there would be peace on earth, all the earth. There would be goodwill among people, all people. It was a beautiful dream and a dream that they shared, but Friday shattered it. Who would have thought it would come to this? Cleopas asks. Just a week ago, the crowds, the way they praised him, the joy in their voices, the tears streaming down their cheeks. The timing seemed so right with the Passover and people from all over. I had so hoped. But the pieces of the dream are still sharp, his words fearful of going near them. So they hesitate on his lips, trembling. I'd hoped too, said the other. And as they consoled each other, a stranger comes, inviting himself not only into their company, but into their conversation. What are you talking about together as you walk along? The question stops them. Their downcast eyes search the road for strength to answer. Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and don't know the things that have happened in these past days? What things? Jesus asks. And they tell him the whole sad story. And we hoped he was the one who would redeem Israel. Since the time they first met Jesus, they hoped he was the king he claimed to be. And they waited for him to usher in the kingdom. But then he died. And they hoped again, based on his word, that in 3 days he would return. And they waited again, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, Sunday noon, Sunday afternoon. Then they lost hope. Another one of Friday's casualties. And without hope, they couldn't wait any longer, so they left town. But there were the other words besides the one spoken by Jesus. Words that would have helped them understand his words. Words they should have known and should have remembered and should have believed. Jesus says, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophet had spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" But Jesus does not chide them for not believing the testimony of the women or the testimony of the empty tomb. He chides them for not believing the testimony of Holy Scripture. And then, book by book, beginning with Genesis, Jesus rekindles the fire in their lives that suffering has all but extinguished. Step by step, the wood begins to dry. Verse by verse, the sparks find places to live. And by the time they reach Emmaus, their hearts are burning. The three of them stop at the outskirts of town. The sun has continued on ahead of them, leaving an etching on the horizon where there were once hills. Jesus starts to continue on too, but they beg him to stay, which he does. They find a place to stay and they sit together and start to eat when suddenly, the stranger is the Savior. And as soon as they recognize him, he vanishes. Though life had caved in on these two men, enough light came through the fallen debris and airborne dust to give them hope. They couldn't see everything, but they could see him, and that was enough. Enough to give them the strength to dig their way out. Enough to keep them from giving in to their sadness or giving up their hopes. Enough so they could go on living and go on believing and go back to Jerusalem to pass around the hope to those there who so desperately needed it.